Next Step 367, June 18, 2015.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of the Next Step with Father Vazgen, the acclaimed podcast series about spirituality through orthodoxy. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, and for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. In line with our mission during this eighth year of broadcasting, we here at epostle.net stay firm to our commitment to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, beginning our eighth year of broadcasting The Next Step. Hey, if you're interested in connecting the dots in your life, in the life around you, between the contemporary and the ancient, between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual, you've come to the right place. That's what we do. We look at life through the most ancient of all spiritual lenses, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armadox look is yours for the taking. So get ready. I hope you're ready, because I know I am. Let's take the next step. Well, so good to have you with us today as we kick off our eighth year of broadcasting The Next Step. Yes, it is a great day today. It is a beautiful day in our lives to be able to stand here and begin this. But of course, at the same time, we woke up this morning with this tragic, tragic news that came out of South Carolina, and it emphasized it even more in my heart and in my belief of how important these broadcasts, how important it is to get the message out about tolerance, about love, about peacefulness, which is at the core of the next step. Yes, I'm talking about what came out literally a few minutes ago. I was acquainted with this story, I guess overnight, in South Carolina. A gunman goes into a church, kills 9 people, after sitting there for about an hour, listening. I believe there was a Bible study going on. And then he kills 9 people. Acts like this, which are clearly hate crimes, they resonate within me, and they just like touch me, and they touch a raw nerve in me. Because when I realize of who I am as an Armenian Christian, as somebody who has come, who is here, really my whole existence here is because somebody exerted that hate crime against my people, against an innocent group of people who are just sitting there, minding their own business, wanting to express themselves in their own way. Happen to look different, happen to speak different, happen to believe different, but we're peacefully sitting there. And you think about what's going on, what happened overnight in South Carolina, peacefully sitting there in a church, and your pastor, the pastor, a young man, I just saw briefly some sketches, and I know within the next few hours, probably right after this podcast is out, there'll be so much more detail out there. So we'll put some links on our show notes so you can do some follow-up reading about it. But at this point, as I'm talking, all of this is just brand new. There's a manhunt for the guy who did this. I don't know. It just, you start thinking like, where are we living? What kind of world are we living in where people exert this kind of inhumane activity towards another group of people? And of course, this happens to be in our backyard in South Carolina, a few time zones away from us. And then you look at the situation in Syria, the refugee problem coming out of Syria. It's the largest refugee crisis right now in the entire world. I'm talking about millions of people being exiled from their homes. And of course, Darfur is still there, and you've got these hot pockets throughout the world. And something like this happens right here in America, and you just say, well, you know, it's not on the other side of the world. It's right here. Hatred is hatred. And that's where I come down to, well, okay, this is what's so important about the next step. Do we have a message? Do we have a message to talk about love, about understanding, about tolerance? And especially as an Armenian Christian, somebody who has felt that intolerance on his skin, in his being. So I've got a lot of issues that I want to share with you today, among them being Pope Francis, among them being the NAACP leader who was outed. Is that the right word for it? Yes, who was outed, found out that she is not black, and talk to you a little bit about Aram Catholicos making this statement about women. Can you believe that? Yes. A Catholicos of the Armenian Church. I don't know. To me, that's really so light compared to some of the stuff. But I want to share this all with you and then connect the dots between all of them. So you understand that what I go through as a priest, but you also understand that within our lives, there are really so many different displays of extreme conditions, and so many different displays of the human emotion, of human understanding and misunderstanding. And really, religion, this is where religion comes in. It's that ability to kind of meld it all together and understand what we're doing over here. So, you know, this is a process. A lot of times people think, oh, you know, I join a particular religion and my eyes open. And that's nice. And that's nice to say. But, you know, there is a process. And that learning process is one which you engage in a dialogue, where you engage in some thought-provoking information. And, you know, some of you think about the best books that you've read, the best articles you've read, the best movies that you've seen. They've stimulated your brain to at least think about different ideas so that you have this aha moment, or you have this moment where you look at it and you say, hey, I never thought about it. I never thought about it in that respect. And it gets you stimulated. It gets your mind stimulating, and you start developing your own understanding of how things work. So let's take a look at a few of the things we're going to be talking about. Where should we start? I don't know. Should we start off with the levity first? Should we go to the Catholicos Aram statement about women? No, let's save that. Okay, let's save that. You know, as we're starting our eighth year, we've been talking about how we're going to be moving and what we're going to be doing. We thought that this year in particular, this eighth year, we'd dedicate, you know, at the beginning of the show, Susie talks about these three groups of people that since day one of the podcast, we've really targeted: the neophyte, people who are trying to learn and trying to understand about Orthodoxy, people who are searching for spirituality. And then there's this group called the disenfranchised. And we thought that during the eighth year, we'd really talk about some of the church issues that disenfranchise us, that really remove us. Like, you just look at it and you say, that's absurd. I can't belong to this anymore. And certainly when you look at the church, there are so many examples of that. And in particular, we found one this week in regard to women in the church. And perhaps it would be better when we juxtapose that next to Pope Francis. I'll do that in the second portion of the show, coming up in a few minutes. Right now, let me start off with reading this beautiful letter. And it'll follow with what we were just talking about, the sense of true religion in our lives and what it's all about. This comes to us from one of our bloggers, Anna Harmandarian, and she was just talking about that last few months it's been kind of difficult to connect with the podcast, to find time to listen to the podcast, but listen to this. I love this because it kind of brings it all together, and I think many people will be able to relate to this. Is this, I couldn't figure out how to do it, how to find time to listen to the podcast, and the negative inertia of doom set in. Listening to the podcast helped to reset things and provide an anchor against the unmooring of self-imposed doom. And this, I think, is the point of religion. To center a person. I love that. Isn't that great? This is the point of religion. To center a person. Loss is an inevitable part of our life, which has a way of putting you in the proverbial spin cycle. Finding a way to see the sun and to smile, that's where religion comes in. The pitfall of religion, rather of people who run religious organization, is to see how really different we all are. Really, really different. Throw in ethnicities, which have struggled to keep the differences during centuries of oppression and forced assimilation, such as in the Ottoman Empire. And pretty soon, all people remember all the differences. Religion itself incorporates these differences and becomes part of the bubble surrounding each person and group. This is beautiful because she actually talks about what keeps us apart. What not only separates us, but what keeps us apart. Once I had a young patient tell me that he thought Christ was Armenian. This was awesome on many levels and funny. Yet I bet there are a lot of people who would ascribe their own ethnicity to Christ. Someone who was meant to unify now acts to further separate. That's very profound, isn't it? Very, very profound. Anyway, the letter goes on, and I appreciate Anna submitting this. By the way, Anna's got a blog, and we'll put a link on today's show notes. Please do check it out. She just writes so beautifully and really gets you to start thinking about different things, talking a lot about her life and where she came from. Chicken and egg stories, so to speak, you know, which came first. Beautiful stuff. I really invite you to get to be a follower of her blog. But for today's conversation, think about what she just talked about the role of religion, about how we set up these boundaries. Now, something very interesting happened over this past week. I don't know if you caught it, and I'm sure many of you heard about it, but never really made the connection with Next Step, Armadoxy, with with religion in general. And I'm talking about what took place in the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. That's the official title, usually referred to as the NAACP. The leader of this organization, Rachel Dolezal, turned out to be a white lady. Yeah. The president of the NAACP turned out to be a white lady. Okay, well, you know what? Stranger things have happened. That's not the issue. But here's the issue. She thought of herself as an African American. She thought of herself as black. And she sold herself as black. She told people she was black. And so all of a sudden, now her parents come forward. Now, this is not just somebody out there. It's the president of the NAACP. And her parents come out and say, no, she's not black, we're white, she's our biological child, and we're Caucasian. I always am tuned to that word Caucasian, of course, because we know where the real Caucasuses are. But anyway, it says we're white, she's our biological daughter, and she's not black. But what's the issue at this point? Self-identifying as black. She's self-identifying as black. Now, we've heard all kinds of commentary. I believe I don't know if she resigned. She was forced to resign. I don't know the details of it. But she's no longer the president of the NAACP. Okay? She stepped down, whatever the case may be. But here's the issue. This is what I want to share with you. Self-identification. Is that enough? Now, back in 2009, I was at a clergy meeting in Etchmiadzin. And I'll never forget this because right at that time there were issues about, well, you got to remember that the church had existed for about 70 years under communism. So 1991, when communism, when the Soviet Union fell, 1991 caught the church really off guard. All of a sudden, now it had to rise up to the occasion. And here we are about, 2009, what is that, 18 years after the fall of communism, not even a generation, one generation, let's say. And so many strides made forward, but all of a sudden new issues, and particularly Armenians who are non-Christians. These Armenians, particularly Armenians who are part of the Islamic, they're the Armenians that they're saying we're Muslims. Okay, are they Armenian, technically, right? Now, it sounds strange, right? But they're so intertwined, the Christian character, where Christianity came from, and Armenianism, of course, being an ethnicity, what should it matter? One is a state of conscience, the other one is a birthright. But here's the interesting one. The Catholicos at that time, I'll never forget this, I was at that meeting. The question came up, and he says, if someone says that they are Armenian, they are Armenian. No blood test, right? Self-identification. And it's the same issue right now, okay? Rachel Dolezal says she is black. Is she black? Now, let's push this a little bit further. Let's push it to the issue of Christ. I've shared with you many times that I don't believe Christ is of one particular race or another. And so when you go into a black church and you see a black Christ, obviously he's black. I think of Christ as an Armenian, and everyone should see him, because Christ cannot be confined to an ethnic group. And this is one of the big things that we've all bought into, that somehow Jesus Christ is Jewish. He's not. Because then at that point you were admitting that he's just a man, right? And I've shared with you this story that I learned that 2,000 years ago, especially in such a patriarchal society as the Middle East, how is it that Jews claim their lineage according to their mothers, not to their fathers, right? If their mother is Jewish, you're Jewish. Well, sure, because in the case of Jesus, if you go by Mary, then yeah, he is Jewish. If you go by the Father, God, then you have a divine being. Now you've got to deal with that. So think about that in terms of self-identifying. How do we self-identify? How do we identify our deities? Think about that in terms of the letter that I read a few minutes ago, Anna Harmandarian. What is the purpose? What is the goal? Are we here to unite? Are we here to separate? What is the whole idea of a black church, an Armenian church? And in this whole mix, think about Armodoxy, is really stripping away all the extra peripherals and finding that message that really unites. Now, this year we said, you know, we're going to take a little bit different approach to our Song of the Week. Susie was suggesting that we look into some new artists, okay? Look into some new people. I know, I've been getting off on playing Hovhannes Badalyan for you people. Khachadur Avedisyan, we've been doing some incredible stuff. Here's some new talent and some new music. I hope you enjoy.
Jane Hava, Jane Li, Jane Li, Shunshke Li. Shunjagali, Zargali, Zargali, Nurgali, Logmasari, Tunali, Tunakali, Hochali, Tunuojah, Merkali, Yetetana, Janjali. Եկավ ջանսեց, ջանսեց քարվերցրեց, քարվերցրեց տուն շինեց, տունը շինեց ծարդնկեց, Țară ire, nu-r de veți, nu-r te veți, harz bereți, harz în mima, nu-r bereți, ma nu-r bereți, cea năseți, harz în mima, nu-r bereți, ma nu-r bereți, cea năseți.
Came from the top, from up above management. Our producer suggested, let's find some new bands. Let's highlight some new bands. So we're going to try to do as much as we can here on the next step. This is called the Nairi Band, Armenia. This is Jane Havad. Is from Zovit Zov contest of 2014. Just an interesting find. I'm going to put a link on today's show notes to the YouTube page. Do some exploration. It's really wild, all the stuff that's out there and all the way that they communicate this beautiful type of music. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. Nairi Band, Jane Havat. You know, there are just a few people in the world who get this honor of being called His Holiness, right? It's just a handful of people, right? The Dalai Lama, Pope Francis, of course, the Catholicoi in the Armenian Church, as well as in the other churches, the Eastern Orthodox, right? They have this His Holiness, His Beatitude, His Eminence, His Grace. There's all an assortment of Hises. Of course, it's not just confined to the Armenian or the Orthodox or the religious orders. Of course, His Majesty, right? Or Her Majesty, they call Her Majesty. That's the important twist right now because, you know, as we were getting ready for this eighth year of podcasting, you know, we're at the seven-year anniversary. Way, we're excited. You know, we never thought that Next Step, which began exactly 7 years ago to the day, it was June 18th when we put our first Next Step out there. And it was recorded, oh, don't even listen to it. It's a half an hour show. We had some fun with it. But, you know, when we put it out there, we never thought that it would get to this point. And so as we were talking about where we're going with the eighth year, we kicked around the idea that maybe this should be the year we focus on the disenfranchised people. And why are people disenfranchised? Why are people alienated from faith and particularly from traditional churches? Because of a very simple thing called relevance. Are we relevant? Are we talking to the times? Are we talking to the needs? I mean, you come home from work, you are tired. You have to deal with a mortgage, you have to deal with children, you have to deal with other pressures, societal pressures, you have to changing times. Your work environment may be one way, your house, your home environment another way. You have to deal with pressures of marriage, of raising children, of taking care of parents. An assortment of different pressures hitting you. And we talked about it earlier in the letter, right? What is the purpose of religion? Shouldn't it calm you down? Shouldn't it bring you down? Shouldn't it relax you? It shouldn't cause more tension. It shouldn't cause more divisions. And tragically, it does. So, as we were discussing, where are we going with this next step, this eighth year of the next step? We talked about the disenfranchised, okay? How can we reach out to them? And what's one of the problems? Of course, it's relevance. How can the church become relevant? And I think Armadoxy is making a case for relevancy. In other words, it's clear-cut, it's logical, it follows natural laws, and it follows the soul, the spirit. Now, you look at, and we're going to take three His Holinesses. We're going to take the words of three His Holinesses who made statements this week. And you know, one of the things about this show, and I think in general, what we need to do is we need to take a look and evaluate and inspect who we are. Certainly as religion, we need to look at ourselves and say, what are we doing here? You know, are we lighting a candle because it's a candle and we don't, because our forefathers did that? Are we going to a church because somebody told us it's a nice place to hang out? Or is there some relevance to our life, to that whole system of difficulties that we're having? And so these three His Holinesses, first one, His Holiness Saint Pope Francis, I made him a saint already, yes. His Holiness Pope Francis of the Roman Church, His Holiness Aram the Catholicos of the House of Cilicia, Armenian Catholicos, and His Holiness Ilya the Catholicos of the Georgian Orthodox Church, probably less known within our circle, especially here on the Next Step. And I'm not really sure. I've heard that he's called a Catholicos, but in this particular article, they refer to him as a patriarch. It might be the supreme patriarch, the head of the Georgian Orthodox community. Okay, let's go with that. Okay, how's that? All right, now let's start off with him. He makes a statement that I got to share with you. It's out there. It's in the public, okay? Last week, there was a big flood in Georgia. This is the republic that's right north of Armenia. And there was a big flood, and it flooded out the zoo over there, and there were wild animals in the city streets. And in this statement, which I'll be happy to place a link on our show notes today, the Catholicos, or the Patriarch Ilya, says that what happened was because of man's sin, because we sinned, and because that zoo was built upon man's sins, namely citing the communists and because of the communists and everything. So basically we had this flood. The flood let out the animals. The animals attacked people. Yes, they did. And you could read all about it. And basically it's due to man's sin. Interesting, huh? Interesting. Okay, so this is His Holiness talking at this level. The next one is, well, let's bring it a little closer to our home, right? Okay, we're going to talk about Catholicos Aram the First. He is the Catholicos of the House of Cilicia. Yes, Armenians. We got the Catholicos of all Armenians and the Catholicos of Cilicia. Let's check out what he had to say about, are you ready? Women in the Armenian Church. Hey, that's a big one, right? Let's see what he's going to tell us. This is from an interview that was conducted in the Armenian Weekly. It says, women's rights and equality are important to issues today. You have on several occasions, this is the interviewer asking, highlighted the importance of giving key roles to women. Even though there are women deacons in the church hierarchy is dominated almost exclusively by men, as it is in most churches around the world. What are your thoughts on women's rights in general and the women's role in particular in the church? Adam I, Catholicos, it's holiness. He says, our church has been a broad-minded church. Wow. Wait, what are we talking about? The Armenian church? Well, he's saying it, not me, okay? Our church has been a broad-minded church. Hey, he's talking about the Armenian church. He says, now just think about this for a moment, okay? The Catholicos, this is what he's saying. We have taken a very moderate... Are you ready for this word? We have taken a very moderate, flexible, and comprehensive stand vis-a-vis the critical and controversial issues and challenges that face many societies. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not following how this is about the Armenian church. We have taken a very moderate, flexible, and comprehensive stand. Are these... maybe my dictionary's off. What do you understand? Moderate, flexible, comprehensive stands? Vis-a-vis the critical and controversial issues and challenges that face many societies. What are you talking about? About abortion? What stand? Where have you heard that stand? Yes, some saint talked about it many, many centuries ago. Where have you heard the stand that has been taken? Are you talking about economics? About poor? About the suffering in the world? How about euthanasia? Where is this stand? Where is this flexibility? Okay, I'm just calming down, okay? Give me a moment. Let me just pat my head. Okay, now, calming down. Now he's going to continue. Listen to this. When concerns women, from its very inception, our Armenian church has always encouraged... I'm sorry. I'm trying to read this without laughing, okay? From its very inception, our Armenian church has always encouraged the participation of women in the life of the church. I guess from very inception, we're talking about apostolic times. Not necessarily the Armenian church, but basically the Christian church. Okay, let's give it to him. In the past, we have had monasteries for women. Yeah, I guess we have. Herepsimians, Gaianians, the Vonks. We've had, back in the 1600 years ago, we've had them throughout the few hundred years, through the centuries we've had them, okay. We have deaconesses. I think there's two in the world. 8 billion people, there's two Armenian deaconesses, okay. But it's a true statement. So in the different spheres of our church, women are there. Wait a minute. Now, did we catch that? In the past, we have had monasteries for women. We have deaconesses. And then he says, so in different spheres of our church, women are there. Does that make you think like it's happening right now? As I've always said, the women's place is not in the kitchen. Oh, very nice. I like that cliche one. Yeah, that's a very, very, that'll get everybody excited. As I've said in the past, women's place is not in the kitchen. The women's place is in our community and church life. Very well said. God bless you, okay? Now he continues. He goes, the only issue is women's ordination into the priesthood. This is interesting. I think we need to discuss this matter. We need to discuss the theological and sociocultural aspects. What? Who? Who's going to discuss this? What institution is going to discuss this? The Armenian church? My approach is not a categorical one, a yes or no. This is a question, and this should remain a question on the agenda of our church and all the churches. This is an issue. At the proper time, we need to discuss this matter in our common attempt to renew and reform our church. Do you think that one day we'll see a woman Catholicos? Asked the interviewer. The Bible says, hope never abandons you. Wow! Very nice. Very cute. Is it relevant? Does it talk to anybody? Does it talk, except for saying, wow, a Catholicos said this. Hey, look at that. The Armenian church, wow, that's really flexible, comprehensive. Does it have any relevance to you? It certainly doesn't have any relevance to me. So that's the second, His Holiness. I want to go to His Holiness Pope Francis. I think most of the world is so impressed by this Pope. Just the fact that he is looking out for the poor. He's made himself relevant on so many fronts. Just yesterday, he issued a sweeping encyclical where he called for swift action on climate change. Climate change, ecology, the environment, human use of the resources that have been trusted to us by God. Wow. What kind of food am I eating? What kind of crops are being grown? How am I tending to the poor out of the abundance of the crops that I have? Am I moving toward a better environment, making this world a better place than it was when I came into this world? Questions of relevance. Orthodoxy is really that strip away of some of all this extra noise and garbage and pollution that fills us up. You know what? There was a flood in Georgia. The animals got out because, you know, not because of anyone's sin, but because water came down and it flooded the roads. The roads could not handle the volume of water. The animals came out of their cages. Because they were wild animals, a tiger went and approached a human being and killed that person, okay? That's not because of somebody's sin. To say it's because of somebody's sin is irrelevant. It doesn't make sense. It's illogical. The Armenian Church is a patriarchal society. It's always been controlled by men, and it always will be, until some major, major event happens. But in our lifetime, we're not going to see women priests. That's just the truth. To talk about double talk, double speak, and talk about how we are so flexible, we are so comprehensive, we are talking about the deals. Can you imagine we are 100 years after the genocide today under our noses? Not 100 years later, there are abortion clinics that cater only to Armenian people. That is an Armenian genocide. There are young kids who are dying daily because of drugs and alcohol addictions. That's an Armenian genocide. 100 years removed. And you're going to talk to me about we are flexible and we are comprehensive and we are dealing with daily things? Okay, that's irrelevant. It's not talking to people. And you know what? That disenfranchises me. That takes me out of the franchise. Pope Francis, and this is, I'm so sincere about this, you know, I grew up with a true love for Eastern Orthodox Christianity. I love the mystery. But when you see someone like Pope Francis, before him, couple before him, Pope John Paul II and his work within the world community. And now when you hear about Pope Francis dealing with the poor and inviting people to take this stand as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, to me that's relevant. And that's a kind of relevancy that needs to seep into our churches, needs to seep into our lives, if religion is going to make sense in our lives. We started off this podcast with a beautiful letter that was written by Anna, and I shared that with you, some pieces, passages from that. The purpose of religion. It should make sense. You don't need to check your brain in at the door. I've come to church, so I'm going to take my brain out and I'm just going to go in there and just kind of like look into la la land. No, God has given me a brain. He's given me intellect. He's given me reasoning powers. He's given me the ability to move, to hold, to extend my arms, to reach out, to embrace. He's given me a means to talk, to communicate, to share with others. Why would I check that in at the door? Why would I connect that with my gender? Why would I connect it with anything? With my preferences, with my sexual preferences? Why would I connect that God-given beauty with anything except what it is? A God-given talent. That's relevance. The church is relevant when it makes those talents of yours real in this world, when they connect with the reality of this world. Yes, I come home and I am inundated with bills, with stresses, with health issues, family issues, parents that are aging, children that are growing up, with school issues, with work issues, and I've got all this. And I need to be able to turn to my religion to find that peace, that sense, that balance, that harmony with all that is around me. When I can do that, then that religion becomes relevant, right? It means something to me. Guess what? Then I subscribe to the franchise. I'm not disenfranchised at that moment. I say, this works. That was the power of Jesus Christ, the founder of Christianity. He engaged, he always franchised the people. People who came to him were invested. They knew that they were loved, they knew they were getting a square deal, and they knew what Christ was talking to them about was relevant. He used the terms of the day. If a grain of wheat does not fall into the earth and die, it remains a single seed. But when it dries, it produces a great harvest. He was talking to a bunch of people that were involved in agriculture, who understood the concept of a seed dying. If he spoke to us, he would probably speak in a language that we would understand. To the car mechanic, he might use a metaphor of engines. To the nurse, he might use a metaphor of certain tools and certain types of procedure. To the banker, he would talk in terms of investments and returns on the investments. To a rug dealer, he would talk about the weaves and the rug. In each case, he would use a language that would explain what his concept was about. But just as the grain of wheat that falls into the earth, it's not about the wheat. It's about God's love for us, about that eternity that God has planned for us. So the reason why he is relevant is not because of the metaphors that he uses. He's not relevant because he says we are flexible or because we are accommodating or whatever words that they use. He is relevant because he connects that person. He franchises that person to God. And when we do that, that's the franchise. That's the franchise that moves us away from irrelevance to relevancy. Because that relevancy is life. And life is God. Life is love. So when we're all equated, when we're all in there, when we have that love in our hearts, when God is living in our lives, we have relevant lives. We have purpose-filled lives. Our lives are real. We become happy. We find that equilibrium. We find that peace. How's that? From the holinesses to this. Hey, here's Susie to tell you about what we're doing over here. I will be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Here we are, 7 years. We just celebrated our 7th anniversary, starting our 8th year of broadcasting. And it's unbelievable. It's putting your faith in God, knowing that God is leading you. And somehow you get to your destination. And you can't look too deep into it. But I know that this ministry has been because of a song and a prayer. Your prayers, your encouragement. And I can't thank you enough. Thank you for all of your prayers, and I encourage you to get this message out. There is a value to Armenian Orthodoxy, and it needs to be told. It is the relevant religion of today. Unfortunately, it gets so stifled under so much gobbledygook that, yeah, there is such a thing as gobbledygook. Get the gook out and get the gobbles away, and you'll see a very beautiful, beautiful religion that points to one way. That is the way of love. That is the way of Jesus Christ. So we invite you to get involved with us. We are at epostle.net. That is so easy to remember. It's apostle with an E. Well, the E is for electronic, right? Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Apostle.net, as well as inhisshoes.org, the mothership of all of our work. We are on Facebook as well. I look forward to hearing from you and interacting anytime, okay? And listen, for the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vasquez, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out!